Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a very good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great weekend as we continue our annual Waltz Across Texas. This weekend, we are going to Tyler, Texas.
Okay.
And going to visit with Assistant District Leader Billy Lambert, who's filling in for District Leader Roger Wolf, who, you know,
is in the field.
Right. Is being stretched like Gumby, you know.
It's that time of year.
It really is. And then we're going to go all the way across to the west to Alpine, Texas, where District Leader Mike Yannis will give us an update as to what's taking place out in the Trans-Pecos region. Busy, busy time. Big show. We got a lot to cover.
Right.
So y'all stick around, and do remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
Breakthroughs in treatment methods and care delivery have improved the lives of children worldwide, all because of discoveries made at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals was the first to identify a genetic defect underlying a painful bone disease in children. Our physicians use a first-of-its-kind 3D imaging system to reduce radiation exposure to young children. To learn more about our latest discoveries and innovative care, please visit ShrinersHospitals.org.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And right off the bat, a lot of news coming out of Texas Parks and Wildlife. We are on the threshold of the majority of the fall hunting season's opening.
Indeed.
Of course, bow season is going on for Rio Grande turkey, whitetail, and mule deer. Quail season is going to open on October 30th, and as we're hearing from our district leaders, other than South Texas, where they had a pretty good hatch, they're saying that the calling surveys, they're hearing birds, but they're not seeing them.
Right.
But there's a lot of brush.
Yeah.
Well, cannot see them
right
because of brush, or do you think the quail are carrying around a Fox Pro carrying quail sounds,
right,
you know, playing
right.
quail sounds, you know?
That's when you need
going,
that.
We're going to mess with the biologists in the field.
That's when you need that dog.
Right. Oh, you know,
modest prospects. I got the same the press release. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You talk about dogs. There was a study done a few years ago of known, recognized top field and field trial dogs,
right?
And they went out and they had planted quail, and so they knew where they were. And I think there was like a dozen sites planted, and the dog found four.
Okay.
And they're going, huh? Hmm. Because of the heavy cover. So, right. You know, I mean, there are things that work in favor of the dog, work against the dog.
The nose is what works in favor of the dog.
Plus those quail, they're a survivor bunch, you
Correct.
Know? You're looking at something.
Just some of the same reports because we both get them. But, their biologists are saying that the hunters can expect an exceptional 21-22 white-tailed deer season.
Mm-hmm.
The statewide white-tailed deer population is estimated to be around 5.4 million. While it's down slightly from previous years, fawn recruitment, survival rates, predictions indicate an overall robust population increase headed into the season. So that's good news.
That's all you pulled out of that?
Well, then I also did the thing that you already brought up about the quail. So,
did you do anything on the ducks?
No, I didn't see the ducks. You have ducks?
Yeah.
Well, then take it.
Oh.
God. You got the ducks. Go right ahead.
I got the ducks.
That's right.
Oh. First off, there was not a Fish and Wildlife Service survey done last year because of COVID.
Right.
There was not a Fish and Wildlife Survey done this year.
Because?
Of COVID.
Of COVID. Okay.
Okay. But
they're guessing?
They're guessing. that it's going to be a pretty good year.
Yeah.
You know, duck production in the prairie potholes were reported to be below average due to extensive drought this summer, but there's still millions of ducks in the flyway. So it's that ebb and flow.
Sure.
You know, I mean.
Well, and also people we're doing on this series, they're standing there on the ground right now anyway going, no, I see them. they know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they have their calendars.
Yes.
Ducks fly with calendars.
They do. It's a miracle.
Deer forage with calendars.
Indeed.
You know,
so. Yeah.
But anyway, reports on the Canada indicate the light and white front goose hatch may be better than previous years.
Okay.
So that could be a good thing, even though we're losing roosting and rice fields and things of that nature. Uh-huh. There's an adjustment as where we're finding birds. A lot of birds are heading to the coast. But with those juvenile birds,
right.
They're stupid.
Yes, yes, they are.
And they just decoy.
It's like teenagers.
You know, and so, yeah. No, come on, Mom, Dad. No, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
There's some friends down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to shift gears, and before we run out of time in this segment, I absolutely hate the television show The View.
Do you watch it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I have watched it enough to understand, you know.
But you don't watch it.
But
okay.
I don't watch it, you know. I'm not a viewer, okay?
Yeah. All right.
But here's something that was interesting that picked up. Came from the National Shooting Sports Foundation and then most conservative news agencies.
Right.
Like Fox News.
Yep.
Don't believe CNN reported this, you know.
Okay.
In a discussion about the increased number of black women purchasing firearms in recent years, ABC's The View guest co-host Sherry Shepherd told the audience why she's a proud gun owner.
Oh!
Yeah. I bought a 9mm gun, she announced to an amused audience. I don't know why you're laughing. During the quarantine, I felt helpless. Joy, and we're talking about depression. Shepherd explained before expounding on her firearms have helped protect her children. I felt Jeffrey would look at me like he was so scared. I get these little alerts in my neighborhood app about a march in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thought, how am I supposed to protect my son if something happens? Shepherd revealed that she and some of her actress friends drove to a black-owned gun shop to properly purchase firearms for the protection. I felt very empowered when I bought the gun.
Yes.
Okay? I took lessons. I took the test. I go to the range with my girlfriends like every other week. Good for you.
Yeah.
You know? And it just makes me feel like at least if something happens, I can protect my friend. Now you got the other side of the view that comes in. Fellow co-host Sunny Hostin agreed that many of her black friends have chosen to purchase firearms, but suggested they're doing so as a way to combat white supremacy.
Oh, God.
But she ultimately disagreed with Shepherd's view, believing our readiness to arm ourselves leads to more violence. And then furthermore, in misinformation, comes out that Hostin suggests the right to bear arms only emerged as a tool to protect slavery.
Oh, Lord.
If they know anything about the NRA, the NRA was created to empower post-Civil War freed blacks of the ability to protect themselves,
right.
by being able to possess firearms.
It is our country's first civil rights organization.
It is.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, I thought that was really interesting out of such a liberal, slanted line.
Mm-hmm.
And how about discrediting or, you know, lying, you know, a television show that they would say, yeah, I went out and I am now a gun owner and I do carry.
And I'm happy.
That's right.
And I'm happy, too, because this week I got my credentials for the SHOT Show. So hopefully things will forge ahead.
All right.
But the announcement came out, so...
Was it you or someone else I was talking to about that there's this big question mark about some manufacturers that have pulled out and if SHOT was actually going to happen?
I only know of Sig Sauer pulling out, and they said it was a combination of two factors: the COVID situation, and they bring 120 people to the event,
right?
And also because the show has been reconfigured, it would cost them a tremendous amount of money to redo their booth in time for this show.
Okay,
but that does not reduce their commitment to the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and they just made $250,000 donation to the Shooting Sports Foundation.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them,
yeah.
Folks. That's really an organization. It's the trade industry,
correct?
Group. But they put out some really good stuff. You ought to go to nssf.org.
Correct.
And check them out. You can be a part of that.
Yeah, good bunch of people.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our best bets.
Yes, we do.
Outdoor report.
Yep.
And we're going to see if Harold is running on fuel or electric.
Right after this.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
America's best-selling truck 44 years running is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks, the trucks you need, the trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. Ha ha! But you're not going to see them celebrate these 44 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they build them today, and more importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 44 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Third Coast Thermal. Launched in 2015, Third Coast Thermal is owned and operated by a Christian family that is proud of the USA and is committed to provide professional guidance to their clients to help assure their day and nighttime hunting forays are the adventures that make lasting memories. Third Coast Thermal offers a variety of traditional high-quality scopes, binoculars, and other optics. They also offer superior night vision and thermal imagery equipment, plus other hunting tools worthy of your consideration. When it comes time to invest in these hunting tools, the professionals at Third Coast Thermal will provide their analysis of products that will help assure a well-informed hunting investment is made. All right, Harold and I both know that everybody wants to shoot with thermals.
Yes.
We also want you to observe with thermals.
Yes.
Was in a meeting earlier this week.
Okay.
With some law enforcement and those that are involved. We were talking about the border situation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
One ranch owner showed me his creative electronic son had created these observation posts that are cellular. And when they did it on their property, it was, and like they're 35 miles from the border.
Right.
They were like the only one. And when they would call in to the agencies, they knew exactly who was calling in. Because they were unique.
Right.
They're no longer unique.
Oh.
There is a network of folks that are doing this, putting up cameras, et cetera, with the solar panel to observe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're out in your truck, your UTV, you're going to the blinds, you're going to just go out and sightsee at night to see what critters are moving.
Right.
You need to know what all critters are moving.
Okay.
Okay. And so Third Coast Thermal can help you. We've been talking about this for a while, and this is really, really important.
Well, like a unit. It magnetizes. You can put it on the on your roof and Bluetooth it to your phone, drive around, and see what's going on.
Your phone or your onboard, you know,
right.
screen.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. And then there's a whole bunch of other things when you're going to hunt, you know, and you're going to take that shot using thermal mm-hmm. imagery.
Right.
Go to their website at thirdcoastthermal.com and then call Clifford Cheadle at 832-827-4574. That's 832-827-4574. All right.
Well, yeah, let's check the Texas Outdoors Journal Fishing and Hunting Times.
Yeah.
This weekend, Saturday is rated as fair, while this Sunday is rated as good. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are a trio of best days of the week. Thursday's another good one, with Friday slipping to fair. Next Saturday is rated as poor. Next Sunday, another fair day. This weekend, look for game to be most active from early afternoon until the evening hours before sunset. On Monday and Tuesday, this major feeding period of the day occurs from mid-afternoon until well into the evening hours. On Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, a major time shift occurs, with game beginning to feed from before sunrise, continuing to feed until late morning. Next weekend, this most active period occurs from either side of sunrise until early afternoon. On Thursday, October the 28th, the moon enters its last quarter phase. On the coast, this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, have a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Monday through Wednesday will have a single tide schedule of one high and one low. Thursday has a single tide as the only tide of the day. Friday has a single tide schedule. Next Saturday and Sunday resume days with a double tide schedule.
Texas weather,
yep,
we've said it for years and years and years. And if you've been here all your life like Harold and I have, you know.
I mean, just
if
wait.
You don't like it, just wait.
Just wait. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
You do. And we had, you know, this tempting and tantalizing cooler nighttime weather and a little bit lower daytime.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going into a period where it's going to warm back up a little bit.
Have you already enjoyed that wonderful smell when you first turn your heater on the first time of the year?
No, it hadn't gotten cold enough yet for me to turn it
on. It did with me one morning. I got and went, what the? Okay.
Roasted dust.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. No. Mm. But water temperatures is where I'm going with this.
Right.
On the coast, as well as our inland lakes, some lakes are starting to turn over. On the coast, we've not really had that big push and big blow. Tides are still running somewhat high, particularly in the mid-coast area. So, again, it's being smart as to where you fish. Looking for bird activity.
Mm-hmm.
Calcasieu has it. Sabine's seeing it. Galveston Bay Complex on down the coast, in behind our barrier islands. Fish those drains on rising tides, fish inside. On the waning tides as they drain, fish on the outside. And don't forget about the beachfront.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of bull reds out there right now. Okay, what's going on in our lakes?
Well, let's take a peek. Let's go to East Texas. Caddo. Largemouth bass are good, working crankbaits, flipping jigs, buzzes baits, wacky rigs, drop shots near creek channels, crossings, points, and trees. Fork, crappie are very good on jigs and minnows in brush piles and standing timber in 15 to 20 feet of water. Catfish are excellent on self-baited holes in 20 to 35 feet of water. Sam Rayburn, largemouth bass continue to feed up on shad in shallow water. The topwater action is good using topwater frogs and spinnerbaits. Schooling bass are good on crankbaits off the flats in 6 to 15 feet of water and using Carolina rigs in 18 to 25 feet off of the points. Toledo Bend. Largemouth bass are good using shallow running crankbaits in crawfish patterns and shad colors, white spinnerbaits. Texas rig worms dropped shotting the points leading to the creeks. Tyler. Black bass are good on tubes, football jigs, crankbaits, and Carolina rigged plastic worms near points, flats, and brush piles. Crappie continue to be good on minnows and jigs in timber and brush piles in 13 to 15 feet of water. Limestone. Largemouth bass are good in 1 to 7 feet of water on topwater frogs and Zara spooks early, switching to wacky worms and swim jigs. Crappie are good in 12 to 18 feet of water on minnows around brush and standing timber. Palestine. Crappie are good on jigs and minnows relating to timber and brush in 12 to 30 feet of water. Bass are good with topwater bites early, switching to jigs later in the day. Fish are relating heavily to a variety of structure. Tawakoni. Largemouth bass are good on diving crankbaits, Texas rig plastic worms, football jigs, and bladed spinners near rocky areas, docks, and flats. Texoma. Seagulls have migrated to the area, pointing out the schooling fish. There they are. Striped bass are producing bigger fish on topwaters and in 20 to 60 feet over windblown points.
Heading to South Texas out Three Rivers Way around Choke Canyon Reservoir, where fall is here and the fishing is really good. Crappie are excellent. Look for fish in 15 to 20 feet of water over brush piles using minnows or white jigs. Falcon Reservoir for our friends down the valley. Crappie are good in 15 to 30 feet of water in submerged brush and timber using live bait and white or chartreuse plastic jigs. Bass are good with an early morning shallow bite moving to 10 to 15 feet during the day off of points, ledges, and mouths of creeks. Crankbaits and plastic worms in a brim pattern is best. Brownwood, largemouth bass are good with perch-like crankbaits and green Texas rig worms. Fish near timber, rocky shorelines, and docks. Allen Henry, the lake is healthy and fish are feeding up. The aquatic vegetation is a perfect environment to cultivate fishing on this lake. Black bass, spotted bass, and largemouth bass are hitting brim-colored football jigs and trolling with crankbaits. OH Ivy, fish are moving to the shallow water in structure. Bass are good in flooded brush on soft plastics and topwater lures. Meredith, fishing is good, and some say it's the best it's been in over a decade. And this is for a lake that's almost 51 feet low.
Yeah.
Okay. The walleye are biting on minnows in water depths of 30 feet. How about Buchanan?
How about it?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that on purpose, didn't you?
I did.
Okay. Up in the hill country. Yeah, Big Lake Buchanan, topwater plugs and plastic frogs are effective for largemouth bass early in the morning. Striped bass are good along the river channel with live bait and topwaters early in the day. Canyon. Smallmouth bass are good on plastic grubs and small silver spoons along the bluffs, rock ledges, and rocky shorelines. Waco. Largemouth bass are good on topwaters and plastic frogs early in the day. Carolina rig plastic worms, shad-like crankbaits, and football jigs working the timber, creek ledges, and the rocky shorelines.
All right, to the hunting scene where, you know, if you're going to hunt dove, you need to get after them, particularly in the central and south zone, because the first split is going to end on October 31st. Mm. That is next Sunday.
Yes.
Wow. Next Sunday.
Time flies.
We're going to be done. Really are. The North Zone continues until November 12, which is conclude their dove hunting. However, in the Central and North Zone, just a reminder, the second split in the North Zone, Yeah, why did I say that was going to end on the 12th? It's a shortened season. They do have a second split, December 17. Everything opens on the 17th, North, Central, and South. North Zone goes to January 2, Central through January 14, and South January 21. I knew I'd get that straightened out.
Okay.
Mule deer season through November 5, and, of course, our year-round season of South Zone Javelina and other open county squirrel through August 31. All right.
Yeah.
No peeking. Electric?
No.
Electric?
No, gas. Lots of gas.
Oh, good.
Use lots of gas. Okay. Low mileage, too. So lots of gas. Right. Anyway, anywhere you want to go, though, the 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee L Overland 4x4, and L is for lengthy, because it is their three-row whopper. So a bigger wheelbase. Very roomy, very luxurious, a very solid ride, you know, because like Grand Cherokees are cool. 360 horsepower, 390 pound-feet of torque, 7,200 pounds of towing, because it's got that 5.7-liter V8 Hemi mated to an 8-speed automatic transmission, and all the stuff to get you where you want to go. The quadra-track four-wheel drive system with choices of rock, sand, mud, snow, auto, and sport. Hands-free power liftgate, adaptive cruise with stop-and-go, active lane management system, full-speed forward collision warning, park view rear backup camera, park sense front and rear assist with stop, blind spot and cross path detection, advanced brake assist, pedestrian cyclist emergency braking. I mean, this thing is built to take care of it because it's such a whopper, you need all that extra stuff. Quadra left air suspension, which is very cool. So on the highway, it lowers for a little better aero. The trailer tow package, of course, all your skid plates, all the luxury inside, Napa leather seats on this one, wireless charging, front passenger and driver 12-way power seats. Heads-up display, lots of good stuff. Very, very, very capable. Big gas tank because it gets 14 miles a gallon in the city, 22 on the highway. And it's up there. Jeeps ain't cheap no more anyway. This one, the base is 55,000. Loaded like I had it was 66,865. But if you got the bucks, What the heck? It's quite a statement. It's a great vehicle. The Jeep 2021 Grand Cherokee L Overland 4x4.
I thought you were going to do electric this week, and I can't stand it. It's worse than me buying a good Christmas gift for someone.
It's coming.
And I can't not spoil the prize.
It's coming.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a coming.
No,
they're going to make it come. I mean,
No. Listen to me.
Okay.
Listen to me. This is the mantra.
Okay.
Of fossil fuel and those of us that burn fuel. Uh-huh. Okay.
What is it?
No gas, no squeegee.
Oh, okay.
Have you not seen the Hyundai commercial?
No. No gas, no squeegee?
Yeah. Guy pulls up in a hybrid.
Okay.
He uses a squeegee. The attendant or owner of the service station is there. And he goes, can I help you? You need some gas? Mm-hmm. No, I just want to borrow the squeegee.
Okay.
Oh, no gas, no squeegee. He goes, no gas, no squeegee. He goes, well, this is an electric vehicle. No gas, no squeegee. Somebody else says, no gas, no squeegee.
Oh, really? Huh?
Goes
on. What's that one?
The guy puts in 86 cents of gas, I guess, into the, pint-sized tank for the gas engine. He goes, no gas, no squeegee, or squeegee, no gas,
right.
He goes, oh, you can use the squeegee.
Oh, God.
So there it is.
I've got to see that one. I'll look it up.
Okay. It's online, but it's also been playing quite a bit during the playoffs, baseball playoffs.
Well, that's the answer to the one they did on the Smart Pack. Remember the Smart Pack with everybody from Boston? Why they got Smart Pack? Right? Remember that? The Smart Park? That was a pretty good ad, too.
All right, we're going to get over to some serious information. We got Assistant Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Billy Lambert from Tyler, Texas. He's on his way.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough, the kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer, the ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloon tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demand for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with vitamins and minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The white-tailed blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tailed deer and wildlife. This week has been no different than what we've seen recently. Mm-hmm. More and more landowners that are using Fortified Cottonseed are posting to Fortified Cottonseed social media site.
Right.
The results, and some of these, like John Sewell, the 2017 Lone Star Land Steward Award winner, who manages the Harris Ranch there in Uvalde and Kinney County, has gone strictly to cottonseed,
yep.
fortified cottonseed.
That's right.
Said that there's about a 3-to-1 savings over feeding protein. Need to put it out. Let the deer herd get used to eating it, because once the rut is over with, bucks are drawn down, mamas are carrying those babies, that fortified cottonseed's going to bolster them and set the stage for next year, as we've got new critters coming on the ground with new recruitment of whitetails and the recovery of the bucks and, of course, mamas that are producing milk. You can pick up fortified cottonseed at Tractor Supply. And for more information, you can go to fortifiedcottonseed.com or give them a call at 806-839-2122. Goodness gracious, I'm pulling phones from everywhere. My goodness. All right. We mentioned earlier in the program when we started this waltz across Texas that our district leaders are worse than trying to herd a bunch of cats. And they're running and being drug in all different directions.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we have assistant district leaders.
There you go.
You know, to pick up the slack and carry the main load. And joining us today from Tyler, Texas, from District 5, Billy Lambert. Hey, Billy, welcome to Texas Outdoor News. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Sorry you had to go to Plan B. You had to go to BD.
You know what? That Plan B works well sometimes.
Well,
Sometimes it doesn't, too.
But usually that's the person that's actually doing the work.
Right. Hey, listen, coming out of last hunting season, what kind of winter and moisture did we have? Of course, we know what happened in February, and then we got some rains. Kind of take us through that first few months of 2021, would you?
You know, other than the cold temperature and the freeze and the snowfall, it was pretty good. You know, with moisture was pretty good, lots of ground moisture, and especially for like antler development, that's when you really want to see a lot of moisture. That's somewhere in that late January through March time frame, and we were doing pretty good up until, you know, the July time frame. It was really a wet, cool summer. So other than that, you know, those two freeze events in our part of the world with some snow attached to it, it was pretty good.
Yeah, Billy, this Harold, on the good side, a lot of people are saying because of the snow, though, they had that nice long soak into the ground as it thawed out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot more ground penetrating that way, and it, you know, it was good moisture to get. And then, of course, we followed that up with, you know, fairly regular and consistent rains. So, I don't know, out of the 22 years I've been in this part of the world, this was probably the best summer conditions that we've had.
You mentioned July and August. Did it turn off dry in your part of the world?
It did. It turned off very dry, and you know, we've learned to expect that.
Right.
I think most of Texas is that way. It you know, you hope, like we did this year, you hope you get rains up through, you know, June, early part of July, and we did. But then it shuts off after that. But it's, you know, it's supposed to. So. You know, everything around here evolved under those climatic conditions. The wildlife adjust to it. It's not typically a big deal, and it was, you know, that holds true for this year.
With that type of start, how would you rate the antler development and body weight for this hunting season?
It seems to be very good. From the surveys we did, looking at both the spotlight surveys and the camera surveys. Yeah, I would say tentatively, cautiously, that this is going to be one of the better antler-producing years that we've had in quite a while.
What about fawn recruitment?
We'll see what happens in the harvest, but at least looking at some live deer on the hoof, seems to be a higher percentage of you know, some larger antler deer this year. Now, of course, that's all relative to the age.
Sure.
Age is always a factor in the post-oak savanna. Yeah, we have a fairly suppressed age structure. So, but within a particular age class, antler development seems to be pretty good. So areas that do have older age class bucks should see some pretty good deer.
Well, the good thing is if we don't take it this year, the carryover may benefit and have you know, even older age class next year if the heavy brush and forage works against us. How about your fawn survey? Have you all completed that? What kind of recruitment are we looking at?
Just about. I think all of them are done out of District 5. There may be one or two left, but it's... you know, the surveys, you know, showed nothing too out of the ordinary. Fawn crops, you know, were probably down a little bit, which is one of the odd things about the post-oak savanna is it seems like years that we have abundant rainfall, the fawn crops aren't as good as you would expect them to be. And we don't really have a good explanation for it, but it's a trend that's been consistent for decades.
Okay.
So it's counterintuitive to everything that you would think. You know, higher years with higher rainfall, it's better foraging conditions, the does in better condition, there's more fawning cover, you would expect higher farm crops. But that, I don't know, it doesn't seem to hold true looking at, you know, multi-year data sets. Like I say, that the years that we have more rainfall, typically the farm crops seem to be suppressed. And like I say, we don't even really have a good explanation for that. There's some theories, but nothing that really holds true.
All right, we're going.
So there's plenty of fawns that were produced, you know, to sustain the population, to keep things going, but it doesn't look like quite as many fawns as we've had in some other years.
All right,
that's
we want to
necessarily
move.
Always a bad thing, given that our density is so high throughout most of the post oak.
All right, we're up against a break, and we got about a minute left.
Can we say turkey?
Real quick, not turkey. We're going to talk about the back sloughs for waterfowl and forage, and then Mr. Bushytail, squirrel.
Sure.
Real quick, in a minute, what do we got? No, we're there. We're asking you, what shape are our back sloughs?
We'll start with the ducks. You know, duck numbers, this year it looks like reproduction wasn't very good up north because a lot of the wetlands were dry, which isn't necessarily a bad thing long term to recharge those wetlands. But
right.
Reproductive effort looks like it was down a little bit. So the duck numbers are still all above long-term average. There should be plenty of ducks coming down in the winter, but there's going to be a higher percentage of adult birds, which means they're going to be a little bit harder to hunt. So we kind of anticipate harvest to be down slightly.
And what kind of recruitment did we have on squirrel? For Harold's favorite big game animal.
You know, it seems to be pretty good. We don't run any district-wide squirrel surveys.
Right.
But looking out the window, seeing what's going on, it appears everything should be consistent and normal. I haven't seen anything to think that it would be below average.
Yeah, good time.
With the wet conditions we have throughout the summer, it should be.
Roadkill is always a good way to check it out.
All right, listen.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, very good. Listen, we appreciate you filling in.
Bullets are hard to find.
We appreciate you filling in for Roger, and stay safe. And we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going from Tyler out to Alpine right after this.
To the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
I'm David Grimm, and my wife and I are the principal owners of Barron Brothers, an 80-year-old feed, seed, fertilizer, and farm supply company. We have 5 retail stores, 2 feed mills, and 2 fertilizer blending facilities. We move through lots of product in order to supply the needs of our customers. We have to anticipate their needs and make sure that we have what they need when they need it. Capital Farm Credit works cooperatively with us in the complexities of our business.
Together, we're better. Find out why at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
We continue our annual waltz across Texas, heading to Alpine, Texas, and Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Mike Yannis. Mike, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. You know, been a crazy year coming out of last season. Got to ask, did the Trans-Pecos region, was it adversely impacted by that winter freeze in February?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. It certainly stands to reason that there could be some impacts. And definitely we've got anecdotal data on you know, some non-game things, songbirds, smaller birds, and that sort of thing where we saw mortalities. As far as any of our game species, it's unclear. On the quail is the thing that comes to mind for me and how that might have impacted our quail numbers. But, you know, we've got very little data, and quail hunting is pretty spotty out here anyway, and I've actually heard some good reports from some areas in the southern parts of Brewster County, and, you know, that might indicate that those storms that provided a little winter moisture could have had a positive effect.
Gotcha. Well, let's take a look at our two deer species, whitetail over in the eastern part of the district. I know we got a few, but then the mule deer. How did they start off their antler development and go through the summer months putting on body weight? What shape are they in?
Well, we almost really need to go back to last summer.
Okay.
Summer 2020, we had zero monsoon, which put us in a bad shape because that's our main rainfall. It comes in July and August out here. So it was a tough year up until late June, July of this year, and we got excellent rainfall this summer. Of course, it's starting to look dry again. It's, you know, the next drought begins just as soon as the last drop falls from the roof. Undoubtedly, we're probably expecting fallen crops to be down. We won't do our mule deer surveys until January, but because it was so dry through last fall and spring, and we did have a couple of winter storms, as you mentioned, but then the spring was incredibly windy and dry after that. It dried out pretty quick. Probably expecting fallen crops to be a little down, but I think the summer rain certainly provided good nutrition that the buck should have been able to recover and had decent antler growth, especially for our mule deer who kind of mature a little later and you know they're fawning and their whole annual cycle is a little bit later than the whitetails.
Sure. We've been following for a couple of years the challenges that our pronghorn herd out in the Trans-Pecos has had. Looking at the notes in the October issue of Texas Outdoors Journal, you were saying that a large fawn crop last year helped offset some of the losses. Are we seeing an increase or stabilization in our pronghorn antelope?
If you look at it across the board as a whole, our numbers pretty well held stable this year. And yeah, the large fawn crop last year and that recruitment coming into the population pretty well offset that we had this super dry, after the fawn crop hit the ground last summer of 2020, you know, it basically we went into a drought and had only a 6% fawn crop this year. But overall, the adult numbers, if you look at our surveys, held stable. And so it's good. It would have been nice to have two large fawn crops in a row. That would have gave us a bump up. But the large fawn crop in 2020 certainly offset the fact that we didn't produce any fawns this year.
Yeah, Mike, this Harold, sadly, we got a little time shortage today on this. Anything else, any other species you can give a report on?
What about your quail?
Quail or any birds?
Yeah, quail. Yeah. Quail, you know, quail's always spotty. But I've been encouraged. You mentioned the winter storm earlier, and that was my concern. And I asked around, and I've actually got some encouraging reports. It always does depend because the rainfall hits a thunderstorm here or there. And so from one side of the county to the next, it can vary. But I'm anticipating a actually halfway decent quail season, and I think some of that those winter storms, while they may have had some impact, especially maybe the more northern parts of the Trans-Pecos and the southern parts, like southern Brewster County and those areas, maybe didn't get quite cold enough to have the negative impact, and yet brought a little winter moisture.
Sure.
Turkeys help them along.
Turkeys typically hang around the available riparian areas of your district. What kind of hatch did they have? Any anecdotal information there?
Unfortunately, no, I don't. I don't have any. Turkeys haven't really, for the last 10 years or so, since the drought of 2011, that kind of set them back in parts of the Trans-Pecos where they were getting established, and I'm particularly thinking about the eastern parts. And while there's still some pockets holding on, and of course in the Davis Mountains, there's some good turkey numbers in places there. And if I had to guess, I'd say the good rain this summer sure should have helped them.
What about I know COVID curtailed the bighorn sheep surveys, and of course the loss of three Texas Parks and Wildlife personnel in that helicopter crash impacted. Are y'all getting your legs back underneath you and gearing up to continue the bighorn sheep program, or where do we stand on that?
Yeah, we are, Bill. We went through a year-long process, and obviously it's this difficult thing to go through. We stepped back and reviewed all, not just our bighorn program, but all of our work that involved any kind of aerial wildlife surveys and took a long, hard look at how we do business and solicited input from outsiders in other states and experts on our protocols and things we might do to increase our margin of safety. And so we are going to continue, you know, the aerial surveys are just at this point that the drone technology is not there. So, you know, we're going to continue aerial surveys for bighorn sheep. We've moved our surveys from the August time period to October, November to get to a cooler part of year.
Sure.
And mostly for safety reasons, the cooler air is thicker, mm-hmm. and so it's it provides an increased margin of power and safety with the helicopters.
All right.
So we'll be doing our surveys. In fact, we're going to be starting this coming here in the next few days.
All right, we've got about 45 seconds before we run out of time, and I want to remind folks, because, I mean, you and Brad up in a canyon, y'all have all things big, wild, and free, but you've got the some public hunting areas, and you've got some water going into Red Bluff Reservoir for waterfowlers. Plenty of opportunities for folks to hunt using that $48 hunting permit in your district?
Absolutely. There's Red Bluff, you know, and then we've got our regular WMAs, the Black Gap and Elephant Mountain,
right,
where you can hunt dove and quail and teal with that same $48 permit. So it's definitely something to take advantage of.
Very good. Listen, we're out of time. We appreciate you joining us on Texas Outdoor News. Our guest, Mike Yannis, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader from Alpine.
Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Hello, I'm Ernie Hudson. Sometimes I play a hero in the movies and on TV, but what I'm most proud of is being a hero for my four kids. I did that by beating cancer twice. And as a dad, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect my kids from cancer. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, can cause 6 types of cancer. That's why every parent needs to know there's an HPV vaccine, and it can stop cancer before it starts. Girls and boys should get the vaccine at 11 or 12, and there's a catch-up option for teens and young adults. Over 40,000 new cases of HPV-related cancer will be diagnosed this year. Together, we can change those numbers. Be a hero. Call your child's doctor today and ask about the HPV vaccine. Getting tested for cancer saved my life. Getting your son or daughter vaccinated could save theirs. For more information, go to preventcancer.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest-standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Lots of DU events.
Yep, and these are all DU events. So if you went, what do you say? Just go to ducks.org, October 26th. Kill It, Grill It, Chill It, the Houston chapter of Ducks Unlimited fundraiser. October 27th, Lone Star chapter in Llano. October 28th, the Palestine chapter in Palestine. Also the 28th, Waco chapter in McGregor. October 28th, again, Corpus Christi chapter, and of course, Corpus Christi. And also the 28th, the Santa Fe chapter in Santa Fe. Again, for info, go to ducks.org. Go support those great groups in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 43 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Nothing is tougher than Ford's F-Series. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted, and the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike forage oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike forage oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike forage oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike forage oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Plot Spike is available at Tractor Supply.
Hey, Hybrid Lights, the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News Radio, and they have flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, and more. They charge with a USB cord or any light source. They hold a charge for 7 years, and they can be used to charge your phone and other devices. So for our listeners, for 20% off any of their products, free same-day shipping, go to hybridlight.com, and at checkout, just add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, 20% off, free same-day shipping, hybridlight.com.
I want to thank our guests today, Mike Giannis and Billy Lambert. Next week, we head to the Hill Country with Mike Miller and South Texas District Leader David Veo for the Brush Country.
There you go, friends. All the information you need for these seasons, okay? Do remember to check our website out, TexasOutdoorNews.com, and you can click all of our listen to our show, and all of our shows are archived there, okay? Or go to Stitcher Smart Radio. We're all over the place. Facebook, they love us. Remember, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us next week for Texas Outdoor News.